I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
And if you are one of our patrons, this is your extended ad-free version of the show. And thank you to patrons including Bart Crisp, David Morris, Ian Baxter, Mark Hall, Mike Charles, CJ from the UK, and many others who are supporting us directly and getting our full-length ad-free show, as well as our weekly sister show, Extra Message, access to our Discord community, our live streams, a bunch of other stuff. And you can get started in your adventure by going to patreon.com/UK Tech. And we're getting comments in the Discord right now that this week's extra message was, and I quote here, awesome with a smiley emoji. Gizmodo wrote this week that Lloyds Bank is about to introduce a tool to its app, and it monitors your, and this is accurate for me certainly, endless monthly subscriptions and product trials to see which ones are ripe for the cancelling. The bank has some data that highlights just how much we're blowing monthly and automatically on new subscription models for all sorts of digital products. And it says that 2.2 million UK customers signed up for at least one new subscription service since lockdown started, which I can believe. Can you? I can believe that.
Yeah, well, I mean, why wouldn't I believe it? It's written right there. I mean, obviously, people are bored. There's never been boredom like this before.
Well, 1.3 million of those bored people are apparently Lloyds customers in March. And to help them remember this, the bank, and this is still according to Gizmodo, is trialing a reminder system with some of these customers, offering a snapshot of debit card subscriptions to look at in horror. Keys to financial victory, again, reading from the Gizmodo story, are real-time push notifications to inform users of price changes and the ability to cancel payments from within the app. That bit is key, I believe. The cancellation bit. Now, moving away from Gizmodo, I looked at some of the press releases. Oh, well, I say releases. It was one press release that Lloyds issued, and it said that 12 million of its UK customers use its mobile app, which is pretty amazing, given that I think it has about 16 million customers, so the vast majority are using the app. And so this is just one of a series of technologies that it's bringing into the service. I did not stop there, though, Mr. Morris. I continued in my little investigative foray, and I looked into the technology behind the platform, and it's actually powered by a company called Minna Technologies, which is a, I think it's a startup. It's from Sweden, certainly. And it's introduced this subscription cancelling product within a Belgian bank, well, ING in Belgium, that is, after a successful proof of concept developed last year. So it's not specific to just Lloyds. We could see this rolling out to other banks as well. But more broadly, I think, and this is the point that I wanted to discuss in a bit more detail, that these are the kind of features that banks could have technically started offering years ago. I mean, subscriptions are hardly a new thing. We've had subscriptions for decades, just not predominantly digital only ones. And we've seen banks like Monzo and Starling in the UK, or N26 in Germany, for example. They've put pressure on these high street banks because they have app first features. Most of them don't even have branches. So this decision of Lloyds to offer something that is so tailored specifically to the digital user kind of feels like a direct response to, pardon me, to that growing competition. Would you agree, Ian?
Yes, I do. I'm quite interested by the fact that you can cancel things through an app. Does that seem like an interesting thing?
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, that's basically what Minna does. And I didn't have time to go into the technicalities of the Minna product specifically, but I would assume it is along the same lines of how mail applications and Gmail and things, they know when something is a newsletter or a mailing list, yeah, and it offers you the ability to unsubscribe. It's probably something similar to those, or just cutting you off at the source, you know, cancelling a PayPal setup just forces whatever was using that payment to cancel.
It does, but can I tell you about a little way I managed to mess my own life up recently?
Oh, always. I mean, appropriately, I'm already on the edge of my seat. I'm 50% cheeked, so I'm ready. Go.
Well, sorry, I did a little snort there.
Thank you.
So I had a secondary SIM with PlusNet for when I was out and about, and I sort of thought, I'm not using that anymore. I'll cancel it. But I realised that you can't cancel it online. You have to call or you have to use the live chat. And I couldn't get through on the live chat and I couldn't be bothered to call. So I just cancelled the direct debit. That's not good enough. So they started writing me letters going, oh, you still owe us money, blah, blah, blah. Your line is still active. I'm like, I don't want it to be active. I wanted you to see that I'd cancelled it, take the hint and stop it. Like, because it's not a contract. I'm not contractually obliged to keep the service. It's not like it was, you know, 3 months left to go or whatever. But I accept that probably there is something somewhere in the contract that says you have to tell us if you want to leave or something.
Yes.
But it's fine. As far as I know, it's deactivated. The thing is, they started sending me letters moaning before the virus, and then when the virus started, they've gone obviously quite quiet because it would be kind of inappropriate for them to hassle you during that challenging time. So I don't know what I'm going to hear from them. I'm ready to argue about it, frankly, because
I'm sure you are. Is there ever a day you wake up not ready to argue?
No, not usually. But I don't see why, when something you signed up for online, you should be able to unsign up for it online.
I can relate to this with a very relevant recent example as well. I had this with the Times newspaper because I subscribed to that. Because their app is good and I like the paper in general, but I just wasn't reading enough of it and decided to cancel it. And what a process that is. I mean, for example, because I was using it on my company credit card, I have to every month file, you know, the receipts and stuff to track the tax and things of the company money that I'm spending. And you cannot even set up an automated delivery of a PDF receipt. You have to go to live chat and request one, and they will then manually send you one out. You also cannot change your details on there or cancel even on the live chat. You have to phone up, which took several phone calls and is a giant pain in the rear end.
Was that a direct debit as well?
No, that was just on an Amex.
It was a card mandate. Could you not just call the card company and go, look, this isn't on, I'm not doing this, cancel it?
Well, I could have, but it's not technically my credit card. It's, you know.
Well, yeah, but you must still Bloomberg's. Be able to make... You must still be able to call customer services about it.
Well, I probably could have, but the point is that I could sign up online and they've got a decent app, and yet their customer management systems are sort of 1980s at best.
It's the whole thing is just a transparent scam. It's like, well, we'll just make it as hard as possible for people to leave, and then maybe they won't be bothered to. It's borderline criminal, is what it is.
Well, that's sort of what
the Lloyds...
If you sign up for
something online, you should be able to cancel it online as well. It should be a law.
Well, in the chat room, live chat right now, Nick is saying that in California there is a law that if you subscribe to something online, you have to be able to unsubscribe online, which is an extremely sensible law. I'd like to think that it was created while Arnold Schwarzenegger was in power, and it could have been called the Terminator clause. You know,
so
you have to terminate your contract. Great.
Yes.
For those of you who know that this show is scripted, that bit was not scripted. That was off the back.
We had no idea we were going to talk about that particular specificity today.
Very nice, mate. Would you like to try that again, or shall I leave that in the edited version?
Just leave it in me slurring like a booze hound.
Okay, I'll leave that in. Thanks. I'll leave that in as well. So I think this Lloyds thing is a very good decision. It is obviously a response to the pressure that they are getting from some of these digital banks. But I think we have conclusively and objectively concluded in this discussion, it is a very good thing that should exist and everyone should do it. And it should be a crime to make it difficult to leave something if you make it easy to get something.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. Well, if you've got an experience with cancelling a subscription, you can send it to uktechshow@icloud.com. That's our new non-branded email address, because I didn't want to pay Google £100 a year for the old one. But any thoughts you have are also welcome on Twitter @textmessagepod. some predictably bad news in the world of e-scooters now, afraid, Ian. Yes, just a couple of weeks into their legalisation in the UK, the BBC wrote that two teenage boys hired e-scooters and rode them along a busy dual carriageway. Sort of same as a freeway in the US, I believe.
Well, not quite.
It's a big wide road with lots of lorries on it, lots of trucks.
National speed limit is what people need to know, so fast.
Okay, very fast, yes. The equipment's being trialled in the Tees Valley area, which is up, I believe, between... not as far up as Newcastle, but further up than Leeds, isn't it? Sort of on near the east coast.
Don't know.
I think it is. Anyway, police said they stopped some teenagers who'd hired these scooters, were riding them along the A19, this was on Thursday, and they haven't said how old these kids were, or whether they had a driver's license, which is important because, as we've discussed on recent episodes, it is a legal requirement that people need to be at least 16 and have some kind of a driver's license in order to rent a scooter. The firm that was running the trial in the area, a company called Ginger, who I have never heard of, has been asked how the system will prevent those not permitted to use it from hiring vehicles, but the BBC said it has not yet commented. I mean, really, there isn't a way. That's kind of the problem.
Well, but it is a real shame. You have to submit your driver's license before you're allowed to, as that is a requirement. So you could take a photograph of it in your app and send them that way. I mean, you have to have one. So therefore, yes.
Okay. Well, maybe the whole thing is that this is kind of why these trials have been rolled out, is because the government wants to figure out where are the loopholes, where are the problems. You're always going to get kids. Well, not even just kids. You're going to get plenty of drunk bankers if Friday evenings in bank is anything to go by. having a bunch of corporately expensed beer and then jumping on a rentable bike and driving around like maniacs. It's going to happen. It's a shame that it happened so quickly, but I suppose the real issue will be if it keeps happening and if nothing's done about it. But because this story was a little bit flimsy, it has been a slow news week for UK tech news, I did dig up a few examples of interesting arrests from over the years, if you'd like to hear these, about people using stuff on roads. Okay.
Why are you even asking?
Well, it fills time, doesn't it? So in 2010, there was a man out shopping when he got arrested in Barnsley for riding a Segway along a pavement. The Telegraph wrote at the time that he was later interviewed and charged with riding a motor vehicle on the pavement under the Highways Act of 1835.
Ridiculous.
Which, as discussed, is the very same law that prevents e-scooters from being legalised without a change to that legision. So that was back in 2010.
Do we know what the penalty was for that? Did he serve like 20 years in jail? Because that's what I feel like it might have been.
No. But the ultimate result of that is that Segways specifically are banned from use
by
on roads.
Name.
I mean, they've said they're not making them anymore anyway. So that's the end of that. But then earlier this year, I found a story of a man pulled over by police after he was caught riding an electric unicycle at about 30 miles an hour along an A road in Gloucestershire. So an A road being the same kind of road as described earlier in relation to the teenagers on electric scooters. That's pretty brave, isn't it? I mean, I've seen a guy on a pedal-powered unicycle going down Piccadilly, which is a big road in central London, but doing it on an electrified one at 30 miles an hour, which is the speed limit on many British roads, is pretty ambitious.
I mean, I've got to say that riding an electric unicycle at all is you should get some sort of certificate, the big balls certificate for having the solid bronze balls certificate for having balls of solid bronze, because really that's quite dangerous. That's fast.
I mean, if you fell off and were run over, then you'd certainly benefit from having a solid metal testicle sack.
Only if you could sort of climb inside them, though.
This has got weird. In the chat, John says, me and a friend drove back to our hotel from a wedding at a golf club in a golf cart while, slightly
Brilliant.
Tipsy. Glad we weren't caught. I remember
weddings at golf clubs are inevitably going to end up in people stealing golf carts and driving them around. I've seen it done.
I was at my friend Brad's wedding. Brad, of course, my other groomsman at my wedding, along with you, Ian. Yeah. It's just for the benefit of people listening. that happened at their wedding. Someone took one out and I think crashed it into the hotel, which was even more ambitious.
Outrageous, but sort of understandable. I think they're quite easy to steal. That's the thing.
Well, it's not just tech, of course, that has this problem. And I think this should be kept in mind when people are passing judgment on how people use their electric unicycle or their electric scooter or Sky.
I feel this is unnecessary, but do carry on.
Okay, because I found out in everyone's favourite Countryside Alliance-favoured magazine, Horse and Hound magazine, that a woman was charged in 2009 because she was riding a horse drunk through a shopping precinct in Hemel Hempstead, which, brilliant, again, quite ambitious. I should point out it was the woman who was drunk. The horse, I believe, had been teetotal for a number of years. Although, who's to say? Maybe they were both drunk.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm surprised that you managed to use your favourite pun in this.
I like to trot it out at least one per episode. Ian, do you have anything more to say about kids being caught on e-scooters? Have you seen any of these things?
I completely forgot to say anything at all about that. I suppose, no, I haven't really. I haven't seen any abuse of it. I'm not surprised. I've already told the story about how I rode a bike a bit drunk and fell off it, which was all the punishment that was probably required. I wasn't hammered, but I was obviously too drunk to be cycling, and I wasn't on the road either. I was kind of like on a wide paving area, but yeah, I mean, it's no surprise, is it? Kids are going to be kids. I think it needs to be stopped because it's dangerous, because dual carriageways are fast, but I'm not surprised it happened, and I wouldn't want to see them serve any time or suffer in any way for it. It's just one of those things, isn't it? It's like the police just need to say, this is not acceptable, please don't do that. And we need to maybe just sort of make people aware of it, because just because you've got a provisional driving license or a driving license at all doesn't necessarily mean you remember what is and isn't allowed on a fast dual carriageway.
Very true. Well, if you've had any experiences of this, then obviously you can let us know, uktechshow@icloud.com. Also, what is your favourite horse pun? Engadget wrote this week that Vodafone announced its GPS, Wi-Fi and cellular data equipped lost item tracker, Curve, is about to be available. Think about this as like a, you know, the tiles, the things you stick to keys and
yes,
other losable items, children perhaps. They do it with Bluetooth, but the Vodafone one comes with GPS and 4G and Wi-Fi. I assume it's 4G. It's probably 2G, but either
way.
Yeah,
I noticed that you wrote 4G in here, and I thought, why not just GPRS? That's surely enough data to send a GPS location.
I did just say 4G, but yeah, it is. You're almost certainly right. It'll be 2G. Now, I saw some publicity for this. Vodafone makes the amazing assertion that the average person loses 4 items a month. Now, before we move on, I just wanted to check. Does that seem fair? I can't think I lose 4 items a month.
No, I don't lose things that frequently. What's more likely is I'll put something somewhere in the house and then rediscover it some years later, which I suppose is technically losing it. But if I needed it, I wouldn't lose it. I don't lose my wallet. I don't lose my keys. I don't lose my phone. I'm pretty good. I feel like this is just something they've told people in order to sell more overpriced tech. What do you reckon?
Well, obviously. But I'm just trying to get my head around the fact that they will have had to survey some people for this. And I'm just thinking, what can you lose 4 of a month on a regular basis? I mean,
I think the answer to this question is going to be keys and phones. That's keys, the only thing I can think
that's
of.
That's true. I mean, Nick in the chat room says socks. I don't think you'd be buying one of these to put on one sock.
Well, it would be very confusing because you'd have to buy several and then you'd be getting all these readings like, oh, yeah, socks here. And then you go to it and it's a completely different kind of sock and you can't wear it with the other. Like, I know you've changed your ways now, but you certainly didn't mind having an unmatching sock. But you might draw the line at having one trainer sock and one, like, hiking sock, perhaps.
Yeah. You know. Well, Charlotte says she loses her marbles. Yes. I'm sure that's a joke. But if it's not, again, overkill to put one of these on each marble. It would also really inhibit its ability to roll towards
marble.
Its marble-esque kin. Aaron in the chat says he loses his keys about once a week, which would add up to about 4 times a month. So he is on trend as far as this goes. Kate in chat says, I probably lost 4 things since I've been an adult. So
yeah, I'm not a big loser of things, I have to say. It seems kind of ridiculous to me.
All right, well, the stage has been set then, so we think that this is a bit of BS in terms of the numbers. So let's carry on and talk a little bit about how much this is going to cost. Curve is meant to help you keep track of all these things. So you would put one of these things on your keys. It's circular. Right. It measures about 16 millimeters deep and about 42 millimeters across.
Well,
and it attaches
big.
To things on a key ring. It is quite big. It is, yeah. But it has 7 days of battery life, and unlike the tiles, which are much, much smaller, obviously this can work regardless of whether your phone is nearby with a Bluetooth connection on or not. So this would be the kind of thing you could attach to a child. You could attach it to an elderly relative who perhaps has dementia or Alzheimer's or something. We've had people write in about that when we've talked about these sorts of products before. And in that context, this probably seems like quite a good idea. The downside,
I would
of course,
say that if you're losing your children, you're probably doing it slightly wrong.
If you're losing 4 a month, then I mean, particularly if you're a childminder.
I mean, that's true.
You need to seriously, change vocations at least.
I'm going to say something that's really dark. I was going to say the plus side to losing children is that it's really easy to make more of them.
Well, that's true, yes. Thank you for that, coming from the man who is a parent to 2 children.
Yeah, but I know where they are. I mean, they're not here, but I know where they are.
Well, the question is, Ian, would you buy into Vodafone's business
model?
No,
would I, hell? What a load of cack.
Nick points out it's hard to produce 4 a month. Definitely depends who you are.
It needs a 9-month lead on it as well.
All right.
You can produce 1 a month. Probably, if you were really well prepared.
The Curve costs £20. Plus, there is a £2 monthly subscription charge, which would tie you into a 2-year contract. Or you can pay £3 a month in order to have that contract last only for 12 months. But you also need a Vodafone Smart SIM, which also involves an additional charge, I believe, of about £5. So this is by no means a cheap or affordable deal. I cannot imagine anybody buying one for each of the 4 items they lose each month, because that would cost you the best part of £100 a month. You could have multiple sets of keys made for that. You could have locks changed for very little more than that, I suspect. So it does seem very expensive, but I do like the idea of having something that is independent of a phone, that you can attach to something that you want to track, that you don't necessarily want to have to carry around all the time, putting it in a child's backpack or something.
I was going to say, that's the only example I can think. Putting it in a child's backpack is a super good idea. My daughter's just started walking home from school on her own. Having one of these in her backpack is actually a really nice idea. I can sort of see the value of that. But could you also not conceivably just give your child a phone with a pay-as-you-go thing and some data?
Of course you can, but a phone is much more likely to get lost or stolen or broken.
But it's also possible for children to use for make calls and say, I'm running a bit late, or you call
them.
Okay,
but what about battery life then? The battery life will not last 7 days. Find me a smartphone that lasts 7 days with 4G enabled.
But kids will charge their phones because they want to be on them all the time. So therefore they're incentivized to keep the phone charged. That's just basic. I mean, 7 days is great, but you basically come up with one use for it, and it's phenomenally expensive.
Yes, but if you lose a child and you find your child because you spent £20 on it, I think, I don't want to put my words into the mouths of parents everywhere, but I reckon if someone said, you can find your child, you have to pay £20 for it, I think they'd pay £20.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that that's the single use case. I think that, you know, something like that is potentially quite useful. But I still think you're going to struggle to remember to charge it every 7 days. Maybe. I think you're going to, you know, I mean, I suppose if you got into a routine where you charged it on a Sunday just before the school week starts, say, when your kids are going to be out and, you know, have a backpack. But again, it's such a, you're right in that I can see me doing it. I can see that there was some potential for it because, like you say, when your kids start walking home from school on your own, it's just kind of nice to know that if, you know, that you've got a way to track them if necessary. But at the same time, it's like, it's not necessary. Children aren't going missing with that regularity, you know, and I just doesn't feel...
Okay, so what about this then? Nick in chat says, put it on a dog. Great idea. Yeah. We've lost our dog a couple of occasions because he's a slippery little beast and likes to run off into the forest.
It's because he's very smooth, isn't it?
Insanely smooth, as we have discussed at length. He is also long.
Long,
so,
yes.
Suitcases. You could put it in a suitcase. That's a great use for something that lasts for a week. Generally speaking, suitcases don't take a week to arrive unless you pick the wrong airline.
No, but also if it got stolen or something, or if the airline said, "Oh, we've given you a suitcase to the wrong person," then you would know where that person was, and you could theoretically go and get it yourself, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could also put it in the car of your spouse. I don't mean in a creepy, stalkery way. I mean, in the same way that Kate and I have an app on our phone that allows each other to see where we are.
Well, yeah,
we don't stalk each other. But breakdowns, you know, driving home late from work, bad weather, whatever. Again, the phone battery might die, but only needing to charge this once a week. And it works worldwide. I know I'm sounding like a bit of an advocate for the product. I actually don't think it's brilliant value for most people, but I can definitely see the use for something like something that's maybe traveling around the world like a suitcase.
I
think that's quite a good idea.
Yeah, I think you're fine. There are possible ways that this might be useful. I can't disagree with that. But it does feel to me the sort of product that you'd get, and then you'd use your Lloyds banking app to cancel immediately.
Oh, I like how you refer
good
back to
call
our
back.
First. Very, very nice there, Ian. Very nice indeed. Well, if you've got one of these in use for something we haven't discussed, obviously let us know. UKTechShow@iCloud.com. Tweet us @TextMessagePod. Love to get your opinion. I think it's going to be out. I think it's out now, actually, the Vodafone Curve. But let me know any uses you've had for this or any similar products in the usual places.
You're used to hearing the smooth, velvet sound of Nate's voice drizzled over your ears like a warm eardrum syrup, topped off with the freshly squeezed citrus tang of an Ian Morris opinion. Supporters of the show at patreon.com/UKTech enjoy second helpings every week. So pull up a chair, find your nearest spoon, and tuck into a sumptuous extra helping with no commitment. If you have any allergies, please inform a waiter.
We've got a bit of feedback here. This came in from Al Struthers in our Discord. He says, just listen to Extra Message this week. I got fed up with paying Sky and having a million boxes, so I did exactly what you suggested people would do. Consolidated everything down into just my Apple TV box. Netflix, Amazon, Now TV, Disney Plus, as well as all four BBC iPlayer and other stuff. Much more convenient. I'm probably paying as much for all of that as I ever did for Sky, but there is so much more content and a lot more of it is relevant to me. Sky was mostly channels I didn't care about. And in the live chat, John and Richard both agreeing that they have done the same. So I like to believe that this was entirely our doing, Ian, and Al was simply expressing his gratitude.
Yes. And I mean, I think, you know, as he said, you probably are paying more money. And this is the problem with a la carte. It does mean that you're essentially paying a lot more for you know, people consider that the channels on Sky are something worth having, but they're really not. But when you whittle down the fact that they're all paying Sky money to be carried on the platform every month, it means that it pushes up the price of everything else. So I suppose you take your chance and you pay your money and etc. But yeah.
Well, Al was referring to one of the 39 current episodes of Extra Message that go out exclusively for our Patreon backers. The most recent we did actually was a follow-up to last week's episode about the in-app payment snafu of Gameloft, where it accidentally sold me about £16,000 worth of in-app credits for the equivalent of about 30 quid. Let's just say they didn't let that stand. They did change something, and people, including me, are not very happy about it.
Oh.
So that is out on Extra Message now for those of you who get that.
Fabulous.
Or would like it. You can listen to all the old ones there as well. Now, Text Message keeps you informed about the British tech landscape, but let's check in with Tom Merritt, Daily Tech News Show in the US, and hear about 19th century emoji and 6G and what else has been happening in the wider world of tech over the last week/two centuries.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, we explored why some countries have a big problem with TikTok, talked about an innovative robot platform that is not humanoid. In all seriousness, we discussed 6G. And yes, of course, we dug deep into the social engineering attack on Twitter and about who did it and why. All that and World Emoji Day. Emojis, you see, trace back to the 19th century. Find out about that and more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
And one of my favorite things about Tom is I know that he knows his tech history and his tech nostalgia. So it's well worth listening to that DailyTechNewsShow.com. Ian, it has, as ever, been a great pleasure of mine to be within your company. I always mention that it's sad at the end of the show that I can no longer smell you because we're not recording in person anymore.
No.
But maybe you'd like to describe people what you're wearing. Are you dressed like Noel Edmonds today?
I'm not, no. That's extremely rude of you to suggest that I ever dress like Noel Edmonds. But, my hair is out of control. So in that regard, I suppose I must draw some parallels with the Deal or No Deal presenter. But I'm wearing a pair of grey jeans and a sort of blue T-shirt.
Very nice.
It's good. But the jeans are too tight because of the weight issue, as previously mentioned. And yes. And I'm sweating because I have to shut the window because I live on what seems to be the world's busiest road.
Well, if you would like to see what Ian wears on a daily basis, that is a currently unavailable but certainly possible perk of being a patron. But for everybody else, just so you know, I am wearing my pyjamas, even though it is 3:40 p.m. at the time of recording. We'll see you next week, everybody.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.